The Bristol Literary Trail. This trail will take you around part of the historic centre of the city. It includes the Cathedral and St Mary Redcliffe. If you would like a fuller guide to these two churches, you can download the relevant tracks in the Churches Trail, also available on the Visit Bristol website, www.visitbristol.co.uk. It might also be helpful if you downloaded the walking map from the website that shows the layout of the city centre. In a bustling, modern city, it is sometimes easy to forget that geniuses of the past trod the same streets as we do today, and that some of the buildings that were familiar to them can still be seen. In the words of the romantic poet Robert Southey, "My days among the dead are past. Around me I behold, where'er these casual eyes are cast, the mighty minds of old. My never-failing friends are they, with whom I converse day by day. With them I take delight in weal and seek relief in woe. And while I understand and feel how much to them I owe, my cheeks have often been bedewed with tears of grateful gratitude." Bristol has been associated with many literary figures over the centuries, but none more so than the romantic poets Samuel Taylor Coleridge and Southey himself. Starting from the fountains on the city centre promenade, walk towards Narrow Quay, the long stretch of water that leads off the centre. If you walk along the left-hand side, you will see the Watershed Media Centre is across the harbour on the right, and the striking horns of Perrow Bridge ahead of you. Pause the tour until you reach the Arnolfini Arts Complex at the bottom of Narrow Quay. Once you have reached the Arnolfini, you will see the seated statue of John Cabot on the corner. Turn left and walk towards Prince Street Bridge. Cross the bridge and turn left past the line of modern houses, and at the end, turning right, you will see a blue footbridge. Pause the tour until you reach the footbridge. Walk across the footbridge and you will see the Ostrich Public House in front of you. Imagine what this would have been like two centuries ago. Bustling with activity, with ships moored closely together loading and unloading goods, much like the early scenes in Treasure Island, said to have been inspired by Bristol docks. Walking past the pub, cross through the benches outside it, and you will see some steps on the right. Take these, and they will take you up to Redcliffe Parade. Ahead, you will see St. Mary Redcliffe Church. At the end of the parade, keep on the left-hand side and bear left to take the pedestrian crossing across to the church. St. Mary Redcliffe has many literary links. Both Robert Southey and Samuel Taylor Coleridge were married here, and the boy poet Thomas Chatterton spent much time within the church where his uncle was church sexton. This young literary prodigy studied many old scrolls he found in the church, and went on to write verses in a medieval style, passing them off as being written by a monk called Rowley. His genius discovered, Chatterton set off for London to seek his fortune. Unfortunately, fame did not come quickly enough, and, worn down by desperate poverty, he killed himself by swallowing arsenic at the age of 17. Dr. Johnson and his companion James Boswell visited the church after Chatterton's death to see where the supposed Rowley manuscripts were found. Leaving the church by the main north door, go down the steps and cross Redcliffe Way by the pedestrian crossing in front of you. Once across, turn right, walk along the path, and you will see a small house set back just adjacent to the road. This is the birthplace of Thomas Chatterton. Looking at this small, humble cottage, the words of Coleridge seem most poignant. "O Chatterton, that thou wert yet alive! Sure thou wouldst spread the canvas to the gale, and love with us the tinkling team to drive o'er peaceful freedom's undivided dale. And we, at sober eve, would round thee throng, would hang enraptured on thy stately song, and greet with smiles the young-eyed poesy, all deftly masked as hoar antiquity. Retrace your steps, heading back towards the waterside. Skirt round the roundabout, then walk over Redcliffe Bridge in front of you. Pause the tour until you reach the hole-in-the-wall public house. It has been claimed that this is the inspiration for the Spyglass Inn in the novel Treasure Island, although there is no proof of this. Note the little slit for a window that was used to look out for press gangs trying to seize drunken sailors and force them to join the Navy. Carry on to the right of the pub and enter Queen Square. This fine square was the home of Bristol merchants in the 18th century and was the scene of the Bristol riots in 1831 that arose over delays in passing the Great Reform Bill. Walk to the centre of the square and note Rysbrack's fine equestrian statue of William III. Bear right and make for the street in the middle of the North Terrace. This is King William Avenue and it leads to historic King Street. You will pass the old Custom House on your right as you enter the avenue. Pause the tour and restart on reaching King Street. As you emerge onto King Street, across the road is a fine building dating from 1740 that was the old library, used by both Coleridge and Robert Southey. It is now a Chinese restaurant. The city library has now moved to College Green, and we will refer to that later in the walk. Joseph Cottle, Coleridge's publisher, of whom we will hear more later, remarked that Mr. Coleridge could not well dispense with his literary associates and particularly with his access to that fine institution, the Bristol City Library. It was the home of the Bristol Library Society, founded in 1773, and inspired the Bristol Friendly Reading Society, started in 1799. Turn right, and you will see the imposing facade of the Bristol Old Vic on the other side of the road. The entrance is actually the former Cooper's Guild Hall, and the Theatre Royal is set back inside. It is the oldest working theatre in Britain, and is well worth a look if you can gain entrance. Many of the country's finest actors have played here, including William Macready and Sarah Siddons. The actress, poet and novelist Mary Robinson grew up nearby and acquired the nickname Perdita for her performance in The Winter's Tale. She also had an affair with the Prince Regent. The playwright and novelist Elizabeth Inchbald made her stage debut as Ophelia at the Theatre Royal in 1772 and became the first female professional theatre critic in Britain. Many of today's stars have also played here, including Judi Dench, Patrick Stewart, Jeremy Irons, and Daniel Day-Lewis. Leaving the Old Vic and walking past the 17th century almshouses on the left, you will come to a road junction across King Street. Taking care when crossing here, proceed to the end of the street, where you will again see the dock in front of you. You will notice the 16th century Llandoger Trow on your right. Again, this is said to have inspired Robert Louis Stevenson, who modelled the Admiral Benbow in Treasure Island on it. Turn left along the cobbled street with the dock to your right, and you will see Bristol Bridge ahead and to your right. This is the site of the medieval bridge from which the city got its name, Brigstow. Pause again until you come to the main road. At the end of the street, you come to the main road, and on the opposite side, you will see St. Nicholas Church. Cross the junction carefully by means of the pedestrian crossing. On the other side of the road, pass St. Nicholas Church and walk up High Street. On the left, you will come to a public house, now boarded up. This was, until recently, The Rummer, a public house that saw the launch of Coleridge's magazine, The Watchman, in 1795. Joseph Cottle, who was referred to earlier, had a bookshop that once stood on the corner of High Street and Corn Street, further up on the left. He befriended Southey and Coleridge whilst they were still unknown and offered to publish their poems. Reminiscing on their association many years later, Cottle commented, "Mr. Coleridge projected at this time a periodical miscellany called The Watchman. When the thought of this magazine first suggested itself to his mind, he convened his chief friends one evening at the Rummer Tavern to determine on the size, price, and time of publishing, with all other preliminaries essential to the launching this first-rate vessel on the mighty deep." This friendship was to last for many years, and Cottle was a great influence on Coleridge's life, and in many ways was responsible for the legacy of Coleridge's work we have today. As Coleridge said in a letter to Cottle, "I am writing as fast as I can. Depend on it, you shall not be out of pocket for me. I feel what I owe you, and independently of this, I love you as a friend. Indeed, so much that I regret, seriously regret, that you have been my copyholder." Wordsworth, on one of his many visits to Bristol, finished one of his poems in the back room of Cottle's shop. There has been some speculation that Coleridge took inspiration for his epic The Ancient Mariner from one Captain Thomas James, who voyaged from Bristol to Hudson Bay in 1631. Continue walking until reaching the intersection of High Street and Corn Street, and to your right, the road bends right and becomes Wine Street. Robert Southey was born at No. 9 Wine Street in 1774. He became Poet Laureate and also rewrote and adapted the children's favourite The Three Bears. A plaque commemorating him can be seen on the prudential buildings to the right. He gave lectures on politics and theology at the Plume of Feathers public house, which once stood in Wine Street. Before turning left into Corn Street, note the quarterjacks on Christchurch just in front of you. Southey wrote how he often stopped to see them strike. The quarterjacks were originally part of an earlier church demolished in 1786. Southey laid copper coins under the foundation stone of the present church. It was here that the ancient high cross of Bristol stood in medieval times, and it was near here that Bushy and Green, who figure in Shakespeare's Richard II, were executed by Henry Bolingbroke's men. Walk down Corn Street, noting the plaque on the immediate right where the Bush Inn, mentioned in the Pickwick Papers, stood. Continue to the bottom of the street and you will come to the centre. Cross at the pedestrian crossing to the other side of Baldwin Street and then cross the centre by the series of pedestrian crossings in front of you. You will see the Hippodrome Theatre standing back from the road. Pause until you reach there. Opened in 1912, the Hippodrome was built by the famous theatre architect Frank Matcham, who designed the Colosseum and other theatres in the West End of London. The auditorium has an original sliding roof which can be opened during performances. Sarah Bernhardt and her company performed here, and Archibald Leach, who later became the great Hollywood actor Cary Grant, started his career here as a call boy. Turn left from the Hippodrome and follow the road as it bears up and right onto College Green. You will see the cathedral on the opposite side of the green. Take the pedestrian crossing, cross the green, and enter the cathedral by the north door. The cathedral is well worth a good look round. It has a pair of silver candlesticks commemorating the voyage of the Duke and Duchess, two ships owned by Bristol merchant Thomas Goldney, who rescued the castaway Alexander Selkirk. Daniel Defoe is reputed to have met Selkirk on his return to Bristol. He was so inspired by Selkirk's tale, he turned fact into fiction and wrote Robinson Crusoe. In a dwelling by College Green during 1764, two women were viciously murdered. Thomas de Quincey, author of Confessions of an English Opium Eater, makes mention of this in his essay Murder as One of the Fine Arts. Pause the tour until you leave the cathedral. On leaving the cathedral, turn left and you will see the impressive Bristol Central Library. This was built in the 1920s to replace the old library that we saw earlier, as it had become too small. It is well worth a visit, not only to admire its Art Nouveau architecture, but also to see the recreation of the reading room that was brought from the old library. Both the panelling and the fine fireplace are original, and the overmantel is by Grinling Gibbons. It is one of the few examples of Gibbons' work in oak, and has been compared for its quality with his work at Hampton Court. On leaving the library, walk to the back of the council house and onto College Street. Coleridge and Southey once lodged here. A plaque commemorating the birth of William Freeze Greene, the pioneer of cinematography, can be seen at the back of the council house. Bear left at the bottom of the hill and walk up the short St. George's Road that leads to Park Street. Pause the tour again until you reach Park Street. On the left, as you walk up, is the site of a boarding school for young ladies run by the author Hannah Moore and her sisters. Hannah Moore was a successful playwright, novelist and poet, and was very well connected in British society. She was a leading reformer, campaigned against the slave trade, and was associated with others in Bristol who felt it important to provide basic education to the poor. It was she who discovered the talents of Anne Yearsley, a milkmaid who demonstrated a rare talent for writing poetry. Hannah Moore befriended her and financed the publication of her works, although they fell out over how the proceeds should be spent. Anne gained a significant reputation through her writing, but after the early death of her two sons, died in seclusion. Also located on Park Street were the Philosophical and Literary Institution, an early 19th century intellectual society, and the Clifton Arts Club, which thrived in the 1930s. On the right is the Bristol Guild. Founded in 1908 by local followers of William Morris's arts and crafts movement, the Guild today displays top-quality work by British craftsmen alongside distinctive gourmet food, home furnishings and gifts. It is worth making a detour into Great George Street to visit the Georgian House. Built in 1791 for the merchant John Pinney, it is decorated and furnished to show how an 18th century merchant and his family lived. Continue up Park Street, and at the top, take the second left into Berkeley Square, an elegant and tranquil Georgian square in the heart of the city. Turn right as you enter the square. Look to the left, and in the central garden area you will see part of a replica of Bristol's High Cross. As you walk round the square, you will pass number 7, where the poet John Addington Symonds was born in 1840. When you have come full circle, leave Berkeley Square by the way you entered, turn right, walk down the hill, and return to College Green. As you walk down the street and view the old city in front of you, it is interesting to recall Robert Southey's words. I know of no city so mercantile that is so literary. That is the end of this tour, and we hope you have enjoyed it. Other tours are also available on the website, www.visitbristol.co.uk. This tour was produced by the Pod Factory for Destination Bristol. www.thepodfactory.co.uk. Music by kind permission of the Emerald Ensemble.